Good morning. It's 8:24. As he said, coming through the door, it ain't my fault. You want to grab the mic there, Bill? This is no longer the acting interim city manager for Fortuna. This is police chief in Fortuna, right?
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, you got your uni on. It kind of gave me a clue.
Yeah.
Bill Doberstein. Oh, boy. So, how's life treating you in the sunny burg? I know, you know, the sunny thing. Are things kind of settling a little bit?
Yeah. Things are looking good. We're getting our staffing levels up. We've got a couple of new officers in training, and they're on the FTO program now. And when they get off their FTO program, it's going to bring us to full staffing. We've got some dispatch issues with staffing, but we're getting those worked out, and we have some people in training there as well.
With the FTO or the field training officers, do they become less efficient when they've got a newbie with them, or does it almost help them rehone their skill set because they're having to teach somebody what to do?
I think it rehones their skill set. I mean, they're always going through the FTO manual, so they're always refreshing their brains with information, something that you might have forgotten. Our FTO manual is quite thick, and they go through that on a daily basis with the trainee. So they're refreshing their skills as well, I think, every day. It's kind of like being at the academy every day and learning and reinforcing what you've already known.
It gives them another opportunity to have another weapon at their hand, too.
Absolutely.
Beat somebody with a book.
Always have a partner when you're absolutely.
Some of the goofy stuff that goes on nationally, Bill, do you guys suffer, I guess would be the right term, or feel any repercussions?
Well, I think of that? I do think there's a little bit of that. I think when we have a national event that it reflects upon all law enforcement, even in a small town like Fortuna or a big city like Los Angeles or something like that, I think it reflects the whole gamut of law enforcement based on, an incident that occurred, thousands of miles away from where we are. But, by and large, I think, in our community in Fortuna, I think most of the folks there know that most of the officers there and know that they're doing a good job, and we're really community oriented down there and want to be there for the community. But yeah, I do think national events do reflect even on local law enforcement.
Well, I wasn't thinking of some of the goofball cops, the renegades. What I was thinking was like Kalamazoo over the weekend.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
And you just, those types of situations, Does it put the staff a little bit more on, not alert, but a reminder? Do you guys, in the morning meetings, say things a little bit different in light of those kinds of things? I mean, are those reminders and wake-up calls also?
Oh, absolutely. You see events like that, and it could happen here, just as it could happen in Michigan or anywhere else, and it reinforces, not being complacent. You can't get complacent. You work in a good community with good people. But anything could happen anywhere, and you can't get complacent. And that's what I think that sort of event reinforces.
Well, I know it just takes one.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be a local.
Right.
It just takes one. So as you're looking at springtime and the remainder of this fiscal year, is there anything that you're looking to accomplish?
Well,
before the budget hearings,
before
so you can strut,
yeah,
gonna have to fill in all the blanks here for you.
Yeah, we're getting ready to go into our budget mode, and that's always a tough time. And looking at our budget and reassessing, what we can do without to try to cut the budget. And our budget situation's always dire, it seems like, in Fortuna. So, we're looking at that. But some of the things we've accomplished in the last year, we've just got our new, it's called Sunridge RIMS. It's our new records management system, computer-aided dispatch system. And it's really brought us into the 21st century as far as technology goes, with our dispatching, report writing, just the whole gamut. And our officers and dispatchers are really getting comfortable with the system now. And it's just, it's great. So that's one accomplishment. We're looking to carry on that. We're looking at technology aspects, computers for the cars, and how we can we have computers in our cars now, and we're looking at different ways that we can enhance the reliability of those with different things. And so that's kind of on the plate right now. And just getting the full staff again, getting our two new officers trained, that will really help us out a lot.
I would think it's surprising for folks who aren't within the department to grasp one person,
right,
two guys on the street, how that ripples through positively. And then on the flip side, when somebody goes over the hill,
right,
wherever the hill is, how that ripples through the organization also.
Oh, yeah. When someone goes over the hill or retires, you lose a lot of institutional knowledge goes out with that person. We're a 16-officer department, so one or two people really do affect, you know, the scheduling. Our guys are working a lot of overtime right now, and, I know they're going to be relieved when we're full staff and we can reduce a little bit of that overtime, but it does. One or two people, well, look at our dispatch situation. We have five dispatchers. One's out on maternity leave right now. One's in training. So we have three dispatchers to cover four shifts. So there's 40 hours a week of overtime just built into dispatch, trying to cover shifts. And so that's tough for our dispatch staff. And we're actually filling some of those positions with officers that are going in there on overtime to work dispatch. So that's another area of the department.
Actually, that cross-training thing probably would make a ton of sense.
It is,
For both sides to kind of understand the other side.
Oh, absolutely. One of my goals is to get our officers trained in dispatch, all of our officers.
That makes sense. It's 8:30.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend, the best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Sure. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Doberstein, police chief in the sunny, friendly confines of Fortuna.
Absolutely.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Bill, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, if you touched on some of the highlights, I guess you're role-playing your budget presentation now for the city council.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Don't let the numbers scare you. either way. What's out there that you kind of go, this one might be an issue. This one is an issue.
Well, in issues that we're dealing with in Fortuna, we're dealing with the homelessness situation, the transient and that
more,
situation.
More so or just
more
there?
So over the last few years. Yeah. The Prop 47 has really put an emphasis on petty theft and drug crimes. And, a lot of felonies are now misdemeanors, and we don't have the same amount of tools in our tool belt that we had before in dealing with some of those things. So a lot of those people, we might be taking them to jail, but they're getting out very quickly, and they're back in our communities and they're reoffending. And those are pushing our numbers up a little bit. For example,
so you're developing your frequent flyer program.
Absolutely. Just in within petty thefts over the last year or so, we're up over 70% from the year before.
What is a petty theft?
A petty theft is any theft under $950. Basically, it's someone steals a bike sickle off your front yard. They, they go into Safeway and steal some items, or they, shoplift or, something along those lines. So we're seeing an increase in that, but those numbers really are skewed because what we're seeing is we're dealing with the same people. They're going to jail. They're being released and they're coming out and they're reoffending.
You mean like that goofball at Shots? Nail in the tip jar 3 consecutive days?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The second time they come through, I'm going to be with a baseball bat standing at the door.
Right.
Third time, I'm going after my staff. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And we were lucky. We caught him.
Yeah.
And so we've identified him.
That's an example.
And, we have these people, and mental illness plays into this a lot too, but we have people out there that are, just pulling car handles, and they go into a car and they'll take your loose change out of your car. We'll arrest them. they'll go to jail, but they'll be back out, you know, within hours. And, you know, the next day they're doing the same thing again. We had one person in particular in Fortuna that was doing that. I think we arrested her something along the lines of 24 times before she was actually, you know, really held in jail and not allowed out until she went and saw the judge. So
24 times?
Right, yeah, for petty theft.
And all you could do was getting her to open up opening doors?
Basically, yeah, she was just stealing whatever she can get her hands on. And again, I'm going to, you know, caveat that with, you know, mental illness did play a role in her issues as well.
Doesn't help the victim.
No, doesn't help the victim.
No,
and
so are you seeing more people? Is it the same people committing more, or is it these folks that in the past would have been under some form of supervision, whether it was a medical supervision mm-hmm. or whether it was with metal bar supervision?
Right.
What is the dynamic at work?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot. We're seeing a lot of the same repeat offenders, and where in the past those same offenders might have been incarcerated a little bit longer or had, you know, some sort of supervised probation or something along those lines, where it's changed a little bit, and you know, they're not staying in jail, they're back out in the community. And we're seeing a lot of those type of repeat offenders. You know,
now you guys don't have a holding cell, do you?
We used to. We used to have three holding cells. We don't anymore. Basically, the state imposed jail. It made us, you know, a jail keeper, basically. And with the state regulations as far as running a jail, we don't keep anybody in our holding cells anymore. Everybody that's going to be going to jail actually goes to jail. So basically, it used to be a drunk tank, basically.
That's what I was saying, a dry out tank, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be a facility where we would throw them in there for 4 hours, they would sober up, and we would release them out the back door. But again, we don't do that anymore. If we have someone that is that intoxicated, we take them up to ACJ.
And it probably takes more time to do it this way.
Oh, absolutely.
And more money to do it this way with no change in the results.
Absolutely, yeah. It takes an officer basically off the streets. They have to drive to Eureka, book the person into jail, and then drive time back to Fortuna.
I'm glad we're practicing efficiencies, aren't we? Statewide,
yeah.
Yes. Would something akin to that, and I don't know if there really is, but something akin to that to these folks that are on these little vacations, drugging or chemical vacations,
right?
Would they do the same thing, or does it just take longer for them and the potential violent outbursts?
As far as holding them,
yeah, just keeping them somewhere for a short period of time, getting them off the street a little bit, so they're not going to continue to do whatever it is, or maybe say, you know, we are serious about this. You know, the system may not be, but Fortuna PD is.
Yeah, and we are serious about it. We do, you know, take those people to jail, and the jail has a policy. They don't release them until they're sober. And if they're violent, they have, you know, a restraint chair there at the jail that they'll put them in, or a room that has no sharp objects and things like that, no benches or anything like that. It'll just be a room that really they're just for their protection, so they can't hurt themselves. But by and large, you know, when you take someone up to the jail, let's say just for being intoxicated on alcohol, they go into the jail, and they basically sit in a lobby area and watch TV until they're sober, and then they release them from the jail.
And you can't do that one?
We can't do that. No, we have we have no way to supervise them while they're at our facility.
You know, you could probably threaten them to watch some of the like Fraggle Rock and things like
yeah.
that, and just put that out on the street. You know, if you come in blottoed, you're going to have to see this same one three times before you're released.
Oh, yeah, that would probably lower the recidivism rate.
KINS News and Information. See all kinds of ideas coming out of here. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Bill.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, as you look at the new budget coming up for Fortuna PD, we talked about some of the cool stuff, and you mentioned homelessness is one of the issues. Well, that's really not terribly unique. It's right, different. No. It's not unique. Is there anything that's unique in Fortuna that you're going to have to go to the council or, I guess, to Regan also and say, here's something we're seeing, just kind of the starting, the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, on this one, but it's got our attention and we're a little concerned. Here's what we think we could do to help nip this in the bud.
Oh, absolutely. There's all kinds of issues that come up, and I mentioned a few of them. Crimes related to Prop 47 over the last couple of years have been an issue for us. And I think they're affecting all the agencies in Humboldt County and the state of California, for that matter. But we have, when we look at our budget, you know, we're looking at cost-saving issues and cost-saving ways we can save money in our budget. We're always looking at that. And, you know, so we start reevaluating how we're doing things. How can we do things more efficiently? Again, you know, being at full staff actually helps our budget out because we're not, you know, reliant on so much overtime and those sorts of things. We have a lot of special events, typically in the month of July, that really tax our resources in the police department as far as, you know, staffing those events and paying overtime for those events and, you know, having the bodies out there for traffic control, for enforcement activities and things like that. So that's always we look at that, and that's a big part of our budget as well.
Do the promotions guys pay for any of the overtime at this point?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. That would probably the city manager.
They're not cutting you a check.
They don't cut us a check. And as far as I know, they do not.
No. I'm thinking from the economic development side, obviously, you know, these things are big deals and bring in significant amounts of money. For an established event, it's a little bit different than a startup event.
Right.
If you get to a certain threshold point, whatever it might happen to be, then they start looking to you guys, you start looking to them to help, not cover it all, because you guys are going to be out there on patrol anyway, but any additional costs, maybe it's a 50-50 split or something like that, so you get a little bit of relief.
I think the city in the last year or two has started looking at that. I think that they've always provided those services, not only police services, but public work services with the, you know, the barricades and all that sort of thing. I think they've always looked at it as an economic generator for the city. We're bringing people in, you know, for example, on Saturday of Auto Expo, there's 20,000 people on Main Street. And those people are coming in, they're using restaurants. They might be staying at the hotel. I know the hotels are packed during that time.
Just a dollar on the porta potties.
Yeah, there you go. Put a little coin operated thing on the porta potty. But, you know, it's a trade off, you know, because the city does, you know, TOT on the hotels and things like that. So the city is benefiting from all the people being in town. But it is on the flip side of that, you know, you have to pay for public work services, police services, and everything to make sure it's a fun and safe event.
Do you have any idea, let's say rodeo week, I mean, let's go after the big the big elephant there, what the additional cost is?
Sure, yeah, it's about $10,000 to $12,000 for us in overtime just for that week.
And the same for Auto Expo?
No, it's much less for Auto Expo because, you know, for the weekend of Auto Expo, we don't have a big enforcement, you know, presence for that. And it's a different crowd. But, you know, the Friday night cruise and things like that, we have to have all hands on deck because we're shutting down Main Street, Fortuna Boulevard, and traffic control. And we've got a pretty good system now. We've been doing it a few years, but it does take a lot of people to run that.
So there is some hard costs for the department.
Sure, yeah.
What does $10,000 mean? I mean, if let's say both of the two events, they each kicked in $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got an extra $10,000. That's not a body.
No.
That's not a new car. What does $10,000 represent?
I pretty much, I guess every little bit helps, but it's not a whole lot. In the grand scheme of things, our budget's about $3 million a year for the police department. So you can look at that as, you know, $10,000 in, you know, additional. And $2.1 million of the $3 million is personnel costs. So that's, you know, over two-thirds of our budget is personnel costs. That pays the salaries and benefits for our police officers, our dispatchers, our field CSOs, and all the full-time and part-time people that work in the police department. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not a whole lot, but again, I would say every little bit helps.
Well, but yeah, I mean, it's a couple computers.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's got to be some viable use for that.
Maybe it pays for an officer to go to, you know, a two-week training class, or a couple officers to go to a two-week training class out of the area.
More training manuals.
More training manuals. Yeah. You know, we were just talking about the hiring costs. Every time we lose someone, we have to hire someone. You know, by the time they're, we start a background investigation on them till they're off training, it's about $20,000 cost to the city per person. So it's a big expense, and we want to really work on retaining our folks.
So 20 is a big expense. 10 isn't much.
It's a big expense.
This must be Fortuna math, buddy.
Yeah, we're looking at personnel services line item versus, you know, the overall budget.
I bet the office folks could find some good use for 10,000 also.
Oh yeah, they could find a lot of good use.
Little, here I am giving budgeting tips. Yeah, you go figure.
Hey, we'll take them.
A buddy of mine. Had this suggestion, never look at it as a 1 year. Always look at it as 5 years.
Right.
So this is a $50,000 over 5 years. Now all of a sudden it starts to have a little bit of impact.
Yeah.
Because it's the life of that car or the life of that dispatch system or things of that nature. And all of a sudden it kind of comes into focus a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of slowing down any economic development, but I would think once you hit a maturation point,
right,
it's a little different than a startup. You know, you don't do that to the comedy festival.
No.
You knock them out of the park. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
Always nice to see Blue when they're smiling.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's a sunny day. It's a great day.
There you go. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you then.